Hare Krishna. The mind seduces us into doing wrong and then scolds us for doing wrong. Sometimes we interact with people who are very unpredictable. We may have a boss who tells us to do something, and then when we do that, then the boss castigates us. Why did you do that? That's what you told me. That's so stupid. You shouldn't have done that. You only told me. Now the boss doesn't even listen to us. You only told me. Now when we have an unreasonable boss like that, it becomes very difficult to work with such a person. Even when we do something, rather than being satisfied with that, the person scolds. And what are we supposed to do? So actually, this is not just a hypothetical predicament of someone in a work environment. This is our predicament, our universal predicament in material existence. Actually, we all have a person next to us like that, and that is our mind. Our mind seduces us into doing wrong things. For example, when we are eating, the mind, eat a little more, eat some more, it's so delicious. So you should eat it, you will not get such a thing again. Oh, you are hungry, eat it. You don't know when you'll get the next meal. You may be very busy afterwards. So take more now. And then we eat and we eat and we eat and we eat and we eat. And then after that, when the stomach starts paining, or nowadays when people are so heavily figure conscious, so people start worrying about obesity, they get disorders like bulimia. And then what happens is, the same mind which prompted us to overeat now starts chastising us. You fool! Don't you have any common sense? Why did you have to gorge like that, like a pig? When will you learn? You are such a total idiot. And sometimes people get so distraught. So distraught by a relapse into overeating, that you know break down emotionally. So this specific, we may not have the specific problem of overeating, but we can all see ourselves in situations where the mind makes us do wrong things, and then it takes the moral high ground and chastises us for doing the wrong thing. And if it try to say, you only told me to do it, then the mind just doesn't hear that argument. As like an unreasonable boss. So if we are working with such a boss, what do we do? There's just no way. We may just have to leave that job, or we may just have to neglect and work under some other authority. So sometimes we may not be able to leave a job, but actually we can neglect the mind. So rather than making the mind's suggestions as the reference point for our decision making, rather than letting the mind's opinions about us define who we are, we can turn towards scripture, take shelter of Krishna, and let his words define our actions and our self-conceptions. So for example, when the mind seduces us, that come on, eat that. We can turn towards scripture, and scripture tells us, the Bhagavad Gita says that the mind is an enemy. It is extremely dangerous. So in 6.6, Krishna says that Bandhuratma Atmanistasya Yenatmaiva Atmanajitaha Anatmanistu Shatrutve Varte Tatmaiva Shatruvat. So he says that the mind is the friend for one who has controlled it, but for one who has failed to control it, the mind is it is the worst enemy. So the point here is that the mind is extremely dangerous. And being extremely dangerous, it is likely to get us into a variety of troubles. It is likely to get us into a lot of anxiety if we don't learn to control it. So by recognizing this double role of the mind, what do? We neglect both the voices of the mind. When it speaks, it does double speak like this. we understand the mind is untrustworthy in both cases. So firstly, when the mind starts seducing, come on, enjoy that, come on, enjoy that. Then, no, there is no enjoyment over there. There is only a little titillation, but afterwards there is misery. I am not getting into this. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that what tastes like poison, nectar in the beginning will taste like nectar in the end. Will taste like poison in the end. So I will not get into it. And in that way, we neglect the mind's first voice. And somehow, if we succumb to the mind, and then we give into it, and we do something, we say overeat. Then at that time, at least at that time, we made the first mistake of hearing the mind. But we shouldn't make the second mistake of hearing the mind again. At that time, we need to focus on focus on Krishna. And what does Krishna tell us? Krishna tells us that, you know, he always resides in our heart. And even if somebody does some sinful activity, overeating is not sinful. But even Krishna says to such an extent that apichet sudhara charo bhajate mamanya bhak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. That Krishna says, I love my devotees, love those who are devoted to me, even if they fall to very sinful activities. So by focusing on Krishna's unfailing, unflinching love for us, we can get the heart to start serving him. And when the mind says, you are such a fool, so we can just neglect the mind. Okay, whatever I may be a fool, but still Krishna is giving me an opportunity. Krishna still somehow is so merciful that he loves a fool like me. And therefore, I will determinedly serve him. I will hear his voice and do his bidding. And in this way, we can protect ourselves from the mind's double speak and move forwards steadily in our spiritual life towards Krishna. And as we move closer to Krishna, focus on Krishna, then the mind also, our mind stops tricking us, stops his double speak, and the mind realizes, oh, in Krishna there is real happiness. And the mind starts speaking with us, it took to us in the same way that Krishna is speaking. Then it becomes our friend, and then our spiritual life becomes joyful, perennially joyful. Thank you. Hare Krishna.